So guys, welcome to Engage Church. I've waited so long to be able to start saying that. Welcome to Engage Church. We are very happy that you chose to join us today. You look around, we're getting full. Praise the Lord for that. And let me just say this, it's not because people are just stumbling in here, it's because they're being invited. And so if you haven't invited anybody here in a short while, guess what you need to do? Invite somebody. And we're going to talk about a little bit today of what that might look like. And so my name is Pastor Mike, and I want you to know that the Lord has a word for us today. And I want to share a story with you this morning on a summary of a story on peacemaking. And if you'd like to go read this story in its entirety after the service, just write this down. It's 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And this is the story of Abigail. Does anybody know who Abigail was? Any hands? We got a couple of hands. So Abigail, she was a peacemaker. Okay? She stopped David when David was heading to fight Nabal. So after he was going to conquer Nabal and because of an insult. And so Nabal is what he had done. He had insulted David's men who were there and had helped and protected Nabal's shepherd. So a guy who just had all of his livestock protected insulted the guy who protected him. And so when David heard about this, he became very, very angry. He put on his sword and he got together 400 men. Sounds like a small army. He intended to fight and kill Nabal. However, Abigail the peacemaker, she heard about what Nabal had done, and she knew that there would be trouble. Now, what you don't know, or you may not know, Abigail was Nabal's wife. So she knew that her husband made a mistake. And she was turning around and fixing his mistake. Do we have any wives that have fixed mistakes this morning? Don't raise your hand. She knew that there would be trouble, and she gathered large amounts of fruits, sheep, and bread, and hurried off to David and his men to give him the food. She wanted David and his men to know that she was grateful that they had helped her husband. And she asked David to forgive her husband and herself. What happened is Abigail reasoned with David. She helped him see how important it was for him to stop this pursuit of getting even with Nabal. Abigail said that Nabal had done wrong, but it would also be wrong for David to do harm in return. Later, when David became king, he would be a better king and a better man because he had not taken revenge on Nabal. See, David listened to Abigail's advice, and he was sure that God had sent her to keep him from doing wrong. So David thanked Abigail and didn't fight with Nabal. So Abigail was a peacemaker, and she's an example of what it is in bringing God's peace to the world. And that is the title of our message this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, let me invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And I hope you have one, or I hope someone next to you has one that you can look on with. I told the story last week of a person who went out and bought their Bible, and they had read the first 15 pages of Genesis. And I suggested very kindly that you should also start reading in John because it's a little bit more palatable reading if you've never read the Bible before. And that same person this morning told me that they have, since I told them that last week, they are now in John chapter 14. And so let's vigorously pick up our word and read it and consume it every single day. Because when we read God's word, it gets into our heart, it gets into our minds, and it absolutely changes us. And it makes us more into His image, not our image. Amen? Let's get to our Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says this, blessed, I can have it on the overhead too, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. How does this apply to us today? If we want to be called sons or daughters of God, we must be peacemakers. Period. What is a peacemaker? How can we be one if we don't know what it is? So what is a peacemaker and how can we be one? Today I hope that we're able to answer that together. But I want to start first with the misconceptions of what it means to be a peacemaker. Because a lot of times people think peacemaking is just always, regardless if you're right or wrong, you just always are wrong. You always just, whatever, it's my fault, I'll take the blame. So here's some things peacemaking is not. If you want to write these down, feel free. Peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. Peace in the Bible is never to be confused with pacifism. So peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. Peacemaking is not the avoidance of strife. Avoidance of strife. Never are we instructed to run from conflict, or ever are we instructed to put our heads in the sand hoping the conflict will end. If you've done that, you can testify that that only delays the inevitable. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about how do we approach those that are also sons and daughters of God, knowing that they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, or those that have not been trustworthy and this and that. And the more you avoid having a tough conversation, the longer you leave yourself to the thoughts and the attacks of the enemy to tell you how bad it's going to turn out. It's better to address it right away. It's better to not stick your head in the sand. Peacemaking is not the appeasement of parties. Appeasement of parties. The peace at any price, that's the mentality. It's the peace at any price is far from biblical command. And I can attest to it, and I'm sure Tim, especially with you being a superintendent now, Arvin, being the head, I guess you kind of answer to yourself, don't you? Somewhat, I guess, maybe Crystal, maybe it's Crystal. Listen, I have discovered that you can never make everyone happy all the time. Guess what we have up above us right now? Brand new LED light bulbs. It's brighter in here, right? Compared to the yellow ones and the 5 burnout bulbs last week. But do you know what my initial thought was when I saw it? Oh, that's too bright. I like it. I don't mind it. But they can be dimmed too, can't they, Arvin? We got dimmer switches. They can be dimmed. See? Uh-huh. Yep. So we can never make everyone happy all the time. So peacemaking is not the appeasement of parties. Peacemaking is not the accommodation of issues. Accommodation of issues. The person who glosses over a problem, acting as if everything is all right when it's not truly all right, is not a peacemaker. The person who glosses over a problem, acting as if everything is all right, is not a peacemaker. So what is a peacemaker? The Greek in the original text literally means peacemaker. Or if we pull that apart a little bit further, it means one who makes peace. That's a peacemaker. One who makes peace. And it's important to note that peacemakers have first been reconciled to God. Because how can we be a peacemaker if we haven't been made at peace with God? So we first have to be reconciled to God. And let me just tell you this morning, peace is available to anyone this morning. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to have peace with you and it's available to you. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. It's available to anybody who accepts the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for their sins because of his death. And those who genuinely have peace with God will make every effort to show that peace to others. So what are they seeing in you? What are your enemies seeing out of you? One, we probably shouldn't have enemies, but again, we can't please everybody, can we? So our enemies, everybody, anybody around us, they should see peace. And our job is also to bring others into a relationship of peace with God. So if we've experienced that peace, if you've experienced God's grace and forgiven you of a multitude of dirty, filthy, ugly sin, why would we not want our brother, our sister, our mom, our dad, our grandpa, our neighbor, whoever, to have that same experience of God's grace in their life? Can Jesus reach them? Sure he can. But guess what? He put the church here to do that. So whose job is it? Is it my job? It's our job. Good answer, Terry. It's our job. It is our job to bring others into a relationship of peace with God. Here's a working definition of a peacemaker. Is someone who is actively seeking to reconcile people to God and to one another. So it's somebody who is actively seeking to bring somebody into a reconciled relationship with God. Here's what William Barclay has to say about peacemakers in this verse. They are people who produce right relationships in every sphere of life. Write that down if you'd like. They are people who produce right relationships in every sphere of life. Too many Christians today in today's world, and I think most of us can agree to this. Again, this is not the appeasement of parties. You may not agree with me this morning, and that's okay. Too many Christians have been blinded by the political, the moral, the spiritual, the social activism sphere of our country and our world today, that what they think is peacemaking is actually them being divisive. It's contrary to God's word, and it only further hinders the spread of the gospel message. We are more apt to speak up for our politics, our views of morality, our truth, if you will, and with such intensity. Have you ever had a political conversation with somebody who doesn't agree with you? Whoo, that gets vicious, doesn't it? With such intensity. More so than we are when it comes to being peacemakers and representing Christ Jesus. What if we felt as strongly about bringing others to Jesus as we did our political affiliation? That's preachable, church. Can we all agree that politics is a huge identifier in our world today? It is a huge identifier. We have labels for the opposite side, and kids, you may not understand this yet. That's perfectly fine. You will, and you probably have heard your parents talk about it. In particular, I have a child that likes to repeat what I say, so I have to be careful what I say sometimes. And so we have labels for the opposite side of where we land, and we can't associate. It's come to a point where we say, I can't associate with this person because they don't have the same views as I do. They don't agree with the same things. They don't worship the same God that I do. They don't have the same understanding of God. Is it my job to push them away, or is it my job to help bring them in to a peace relationship and being reconciled with God? Which do you think is more important today? Good answer. We've really come to a point in our country where everything is divisive. Everybody's opinion is altering somebody else's, and it's divisive stuff. I'm going to open this can of worms. We will argue about when life does or doesn't begin, and we're willing to argue to which extent that it has value. We're more open to have that conversation than we are to say, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. You want to talk about a life that has value? Your life has value. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to meet him. Be a peacemaker. So all the while we have all these opinions and intentions and all of this, and we think that we're right, and we think that we're holy, and we think we're doing the Lord's work. But what we might be doing is unintentionally putting obstacles in the path of those who are trying to find Jesus. I remember years and years and years ago, if you've been here for a while, we had Carrie Van Campen here as an interim back in, 2015? Yeah, 2015, 2014. And he preached a sermon about obstacles. And the illustration, he always acted like he was taking a rock and putting it right. And so that's always been with me. So when I talk about obstacles, I always imagine taking this big boulder and putting it right in somebody's path on their way to Jesus. We may be unintentionally putting obstacles in the path of those who would desire to seek Christ. And if you, if me, if myself, if I am how they measure who Christ is, if they look to me, if they look to you for their definition and understanding who Christ Jesus is he dismissive? Is he divisive? Or is he a peacemaker? Braden, if you want to get that ready to go, Allie, I'll need you in just about 30 seconds here. We're going to try some technology this morning. While they're getting ready for that, honestly, the only thing that matters at the end of the day is if we are at peace with God. Meaning we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. It also means that we are bringing others to peace with God. We're bringing in to that peaceful relationship. Even if they are our political rivals. One lonely voice there, folks. Do I need to repeat that? The only thing that matters is that we have a relationship of peace with God and that we are bringing other people to peace with God, even our political rivals. Amen. Even those who disagree with us on the value of life. Listen, let Jesus change their hearts. Let Jesus change their minds. You just make the introduction. Make the introduction. That's all you have to do. Are we good? Are we good, Braden? Perfect. It's working. Wonderful. So at the end of the day, you're going to have to patch it over to the pastor notes. And then go full screen. Is it working? Maybe it's taking a second to connect. Let's see if it pops up here. At the end of the day, my personal and beliefs and my convictions, they don't matter. They don't matter. What matters is my love for Christ, my love for others, and pointing them towards Him. Allie, you might have to take that closer back there so it makes the first connection. It worked earlier. It just took like 20 seconds. I don't want to stand before God someday. And I don't want to have to answer the question, why I only spread the gospel to like-minded people? Why did you only preach to people who you agreed with? Why did I purposely avoid those who thought differently than me? Close photo booth and relaunch it if it hasn't gone yet. I'm sorry, it was working. Is it working? Hey, sweet. So because I realize that there are some balls up here on the stage and those in the back, you can't see it, we're going to put it on the overhead. Go ahead and get it. Hit the button there, Braden. There we go. And then make that full screen. There we go. Can you see that? Technology, it works. How awesome. Yeah. Okay. So think of this circle here as my sphere of influence. These balls represent the people, okay? Now, just for sake of not right and left and you trying to figure out which side I'm stepping on, we're going to go this way. So What if I already discarded that person. What if I decided that only those who agreed with me politically were worth sharing the gospel to? What did I just do? I just reduced my sphere of influence. I just got rid of the people that God has put in my life that I can have the opportunity to spread the gospel message to. What if they're in a different social class than I am? Because maybe that's what we hang up on. Maybe we don't want to talk to the white collar. Maybe we don't want to talk to the blue collar folks because we're white collar. What have I just done? I've reduced my sphere of influence. Is that pretty cool or is that just really cool? You only have one option. It's pretty cool. What if I was so mad at my mom and her side of the family, and I didn't want to forgive her? Maybe it's your dad, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's an employer, I don't care. Maybe you hate where you work. Don't raise your hand if you do, but do you hate where you work? How apt are you to tell people about Jesus at a place you don't enjoy? Maybe I'm not willing to talk about Jesus at work. You know, I was reading this morning in Acts chapter 4, the apostles were preaching Jesus, and the lame beggar was healed. And he went into the temple with them, and all of Israel was excited. The Sadducees and the authorities of the temple brought them before and said, "What are you doing?" And eventually they said, "No more. We'll let you go, but you don't speak in this name of Jesus ever again." Do you know what Peter said to him? Does anybody know? "Do you think God would desire me to listen to you or listen to him? Because I can't be quiet." So maybe we should be okay with talking about Jesus at work. There's a difference between shoving Jesus down somebody's throat and talking about what Jesus has done in your life. Is that still preaching Jesus? But what if I make that distinction and say, "You know what? I'm not going to talk to those work people. They're a bunch of heathens." What have I just done? My sphere of influence is only... Get a close-up here, Allie. She's doing a great job as a camera gal, isn't she? Look at this. I only got 6 balls out of, I don't know how many I actually poured on stage this morning. But do you understand what I'm saying here? When we allow our spheres, we're good. We can go back. When we allow our sphere and what we decide, what we believe, when we decide what's important, we reduce our sphere next to nothing. So God put a bunch of people around us, but now I only have 6 of those because of all of my preconceived choices that I've made on who I am and am not willing to talk to. Now, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus do that? He went to those who didn't think like him. He went to those who acted differently than him. And he focused on those who were otherwise deemed unfit. I'm here to tell you, each and every one of us are unfit. But we're made fit because of the grace of God. Think of the woman caught in adultery. We see that in the Synoptic Gospels. What happened is the Pharisees only brought the woman before Jesus. Now, if they were truly interested in true punishment, they would have brought the man with. Right? Adultery is a two-person act, folks. It's not one. But the Pharisees only brought the woman before Jesus to accuse and punish her. They were testing him. The Jewish law gave every right for punishment. They had all the authority to punish based off of Jewish law. But what did Jesus do? He was a peacemaker. He instead challenged the Pharisees that whoever was without sin could cast the first stone at her. What happened is they all left one by one until it was only her and Jesus. And if you want to look this up, it's in John chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, and the verses prior. But that's where I'm picking up to read. Jesus stood up after the last one left. Jesus stood up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." If you want to talk about peacemaking, that's it. It was more important for her to encounter Jesus and his grace than for him to be politically correct or justified in his thinking or actions. Are we uncomfortable in here this morning? Are we all right? It was more important for her to encounter Jesus. Now, let's bring this peacemaker closer to home. Let's if you've ever heard like the 30,000 view, like if you're on Google Maps and you pinch in and it zooms out, right? And if you go like this, it zooms in right on top of your house and you can see what Dave had for breakfast this morning. He's not here, but I told him I was going to give him a hard time. We're going to take this from a 30,000-foot overview to a 2,000-foot overview. We're going to bring this right in to our sphere of our life. So being a peacemaker in your job, being a peacemaker in your family, being a peacemaker in your finances, being a peacemaker in your marriage, these are things that can have everlasting benefit in your life. You, being a peacemaker, could also have an impact on someone else's eternity. So don't answer this question. Answer it, but don't answer it out loud. Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head yes. Just sit emotionless and answer it. Do you have a wayward spouse? Do you have wayward kids? Maybe you have parents who have stepped away from the Lord. Are your finances on the rocks, where you live hopelessly and helplessly, paycheck to paycheck, with no way out? You're just surviving, just hoping for a breath of fresh air. Are you at a dead-end job? No room for advancement. There's no enjoyment in it anymore. Just kind of a hopeless, helpless situation. Instead of counting it all as lost, instead of writing off your marriage, writing off your kids, writing off your grandparents or your parents, writing off your spouse or changing jobs every 3 weeks because it's what the cool kids do, don't count it hopeless, don't count it helpless, and let's instead try to be a peacemaker in that situation. It's important in any and all situation that we actively seek peace. One who makes peace. We don't wait for somebody else to make peace. We initiate peace. It could be through reconciliation. It could be that we're not sitting on the sideline waiting for someone to come to us to seek reconciliation, but instead we are seeking it out with them. We are finding them, and we are starting that process of peacemaking. And it doesn't matter who should be the one apologizing. I remember as a kid fighting with my brothers and sisters. At the time, my dad was married to a gal who had four in her family. Dad had two, so there's six of us. There was a lot of fights in that house, and there would be a lot of arguments who needed to be the one to apologize first. He hit me first. Doesn't matter, I stuck my tongue out and threw a snicker at his head. Right? He did it first. You're laughing, but every one of you have experienced exactly what I'm talking about. There's an argument of who needs to be the first one. Listen, husbands, swallow your pride. Wives, don't sit idle by and wait for him. Initiate peace. Parents, seek peace with your kids. Kids, your parents do love you. Seek peace. Kids, I just said that. Peace, man. Seek the apology. We're going to have both of them on the ladder today hanging up Christmas lights, so there might be some peacemaking that has to happen at our house if you want to come watch that this afternoon. I've remembered this quote for many, many years, and I will continue to use this quote until the day I die. This is from our a prior district superintendent, Tom Jacob. When it comes to understanding people and arguments and just people's actions, he says, we judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intention. What does that mean? Somebody who's habitually late, sometimes you might set the meal at 11 instead of 12. In hopes that they're there by 12. But somebody who's habitually late, let's say for work, why can't they get their stuff together? Why are they always late? You're judging them completely off. Do you think in their mind they actually thought, I think I'll go into work 5 minutes late today? Or do you think that they are trying their hardest to get themselves to work and whatever has taken place, no matter how obnoxious and annoying it is, their intentions were likely not to be late? So what if we judged others by their intentions and not their actions? We're willing to give ourselves that wiggle room. Let's extend that wiggle room to somebody else. This is an example of peacemaking. Looking at it through the eyes of the person and not purely based off action, but what was the intention behind it? Let's try to seek understanding on their intentions. Because at the end of the day, if we're going to be peacemakers, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional if we're going to make peace. We must approach all of this the same way that Jesus would, with love and grace. A whole lot of love and grace, revealing His heart, His hope for a relationship with them. You purely represent Jesus. He does the heavy lifting. He does the heavy lifting. Each of us must choose to be peacemakers. We need to be the first to forgive. We need to be the first to forget. This might be controversial. Be the last to be offended. I don't care if what you said is offensive. You're not offending me. You're offending Jesus. The offense is His to carry, not me to carry. Be the last to be offended. Or maybe take it a step further and be unoffendable. No matter what happens, be unoffendable. I don't even know if that's a word. We might be making words up this morning. But be unoffendable. Be audacious. Be bold. Let the small things be small things. Let the internal, the eternal things, the things of Jesus be what you focus on. Because Jesus is clear. He says, blessed. And we know that in the Greek, that blessed can be happy. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be a son of God. You might want to be a daughter of God. And if we want to be a son or a daughter of God, what must we do? We must be a peacemaker. I cannot be either of those things if I'm doing anything other than trying to make peace. If I'm stirring the pot, if I'm gossiping, if I'm not working my hardest at work, or if I'm not telling my spouse what I'm doing with finances and things are just in disarray, listen. We have to choose to be a peacemaker. Engaging our community for Jesus, it requires us to be just like Jesus, the ultimate peacemaker. Because this morning, if you have a relationship with Him, you are under His peace. There is peace in your life. There is forgiveness of sins in your life. There is a reconciliation that could have never taken place without Him being the chief peacemaker and allowing you to be in relationship with Him, all because of the work of the cross. So I would just ask everybody in here this morning, bow your heads, close your eyes, pay attention to my voice and my voice only. I don't care what Billy Bob George is doing next to you. Pay attention to my voice and focus only on the words being said here. Do not be distracted. Do not let this moment get past you. Do you have peace? Have you called on the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Can you call yourself a child of God? If not, listen. If not, do not leave here today until you are sure. It may have no implication today, but it could have eternal implication. So right now, I want to say a prayer with you. I just want to help you make sure. So whether this is in a new way, I've never said it. I didn't even know who Jesus was, or I knew He was, you know, in the song about being born in a manger that they sing in December, but I've never had a relationship with Him. Or maybe this is in a fresh way. Maybe you've said it years and years and years ago, and you've walked away, you've chosen to live a lifestyle that is not one of making peace. But this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said, come back and let's have peace. If that's you this morning, if any of those are related to you, would you please, with every eye closed and head bowed, would you please just raise your hand this morning? Amen. If you raised your hand this morning, a simple prayer, and we'll pray together. But it's a simple prayer, and folks, listen, it doesn't have anything to do with the words. It has to do with the authenticity of our heart. What are our intentions? Are we realizing the gravity of our sin and our need for a Savior? So if you would, church, would you join with me in this prayer? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I know that I am a sinner. Come into my life, change me, make me new, and use me. I want to be at peace with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had one individual this morning raise their hand for that, and I say praise the Lord, because peace can now be experienced. You can take that big, you know, like after a stressful day, don't we take a big breath and then sit in our recliner and just melt away? Your sins are gone. You can have a big breath of fresh air this morning. It's easy for us to get caught up in daily life. I know this. Trust me, I know this. It's easy to lose our focus on being a peacemaker. And instead, we find ourselves focusing on ourselves. We focus on what we want to do and justify our actions, and we ensure that we feel like we are right in all of our actions, thoughts, and words. Instead, we must allow Jesus to be represented in our life at every moment. Every moment. This morning, we have a chance to check our hearts. We have a chance to check our attitudes. We have a chance to check our intentions. We get to ask God. We get to. Doesn't mean you have to, but I highly, strongly recommend that we get to ask God to show us areas where we can begin to make peace. To become peacemakers. We have an opportunity to allow Him through His Holy Spirit to turn us into a peacemaker. There is something when we approach the altar, church. I'm not going to make you come to the altar, but I'm going to suggest that you maybe should consider doing it. Because when we come to the altar, the action of getting up and walking before, our hearts find themselves in a surrendered state. There's a posture that happens. We become transparent before God. And when we're on our knees before Him in prayer, we're more willing to be transformed by Him. So as Stacy leads us in a song this morning, church, I encourage you to come up to the altar, pray, sit, wait, and engage the Lord Jesus. Amen.